development and the future that you're trying to build by building a better life today. So I'm Pastor Lester Hayes, here with my lovely wife, Pastor Sharon Hayes, New Freedom Christian Ministry, will be your host this morning. We thank you for those who have joined with us this morning, our sister Bell, Pastor Eric, Pastor Phoebe, whoever else is out there this morning that's calling in, that's joining with us, that have access. We thank the Lord for you this morning. Amen. And pray and hope that you'll hear something this morning that can act like a medicine to your flesh and marrow to your bones, that can feed you spirit, soul, and body. I know it's feeding us this morning. And that's our focus this morning, to be able to build a better life, a whole life. Amen. W-H-O-L-L-Y, not something else, but a whole life where it encompasses our body, our soul, and our spirit. We are a spirit, and we live in a body. We have a soul. We have a personality that is in our souls. And thank God for changing our personality, because when we were not saved, we had a personality. We want to gratify and satisfy fleshly desires and things like that. Love that I cried. Like, but when God saves us, he saves us. When he heals us from all of that. Therefore, he is our praise. But we don't want to get stagnated. We want to continue to grow, mature, develop, and learn more about how to live a victorious life. We have a victory God gave us through Jesus Christ. But when old things get taken away and everything becomes new, it starts a whole new process of development called of being converted to a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. We're born naturally, amen, but we came from a spirit, and we want to learn how now, as natural men and women, how to live a spiritual life on this earth. And we targeted some areas, amen, that we've been striving and aiming to build a better future of optimal overall wellness. And we said physical wellness, spiritual wellness, emotional wellness, financial wellness, occupational wellness, environmental wellness, and social wellness. Because all of these things that we just mentioned, those eight categories, affect our body, affect our soul, and affect our spirit. And the Lord wants us to be able to master those areas. Amen. And that's why he told Moses to tell him to eat the whole loaf. Ain't going to do us no good to pick out one scripture, and ain't going to do us no good to just take care of the body with muscles and whatnot, and then perish spiritually and worship ignorantly, because we don't know how we're made up. We don't know how wonderfully and fearfully we're made. God made us this way. He gave us these bodies. He gave us these spirits. He gave us these souls. And it's up to us to be good stewards. But what we cannot do is separate it from the word. The word instructs us. Amen. And the word doesn't do us any good just to have it. We got to work this word in those areas in our lives. We got to apply this word. We got to take this word like medicine. So many times people will idolize the word. But if the word don't lead us to God, to learn about God, then it becomes an idol. Anything, amen, that we have, that we don't use it the way God instructs us to use it. This is why we study the word of God, to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. That is so important. I mean, cutting it straight. Doing exactly with it what God instructs us to do. Keeping those commandments help us to be able to obey God, because this instruction in righteousness that we as men and women of God may be thoroughly furnished and prepared unto every good work. I hear people sometimes, I'm guilty, we talk about the word, but we don't talk about the God of the world enough. We need to talk more. If the word don't arm us to talk more about God, then we're idolizing the word. We got to let that word instruct us how to build this better future, this better life, this better relationship, an intimate relationship. We're charged to do that, to have an intimate relationship with God through the Spirit. Amen. But our souls have got to be saved, because that personality ain't shaped and ain't formed. You know, the Bible said, be not conformed to the things of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, over in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That's exactly what happened. And it becomes now a form of godliness, and we deny the power thereof, which comes from the Spirit of God. He emboldens us. He empowers us. He transforms us. He changes us. He comes and lives inside of us. Amen. As a gift from God, the Holy Spirit. And he don't come empty handed, empty pocket. He comes with 9 fruits of the Spirit. He comes with 9 gifts of the Spirit. And some of them are used for our personal edification. And some of them are used in the body of Christ for the edification of the body of Christ. It's not for us to walk around and abuse those gifts and stuff and thinking that we're so high and mighty, we're above everybody. No, separated from all that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives, we're nothing. We are nothing. I heard Pastor Stevie use a word the other day, empty system, a system. You know, well, the system don't have living water in it. It just makes a lot of noise, you know. And so that's the point that the prophet was trying to make to the people of God. They were running around calling themselves people of God, but didn't have a personal relationship with God. They didn't even know God. They couldn't maintain him in their conversation. They talked about everything but the living God. Now, they had some idols. They had some images. They had some things that they built and called it God, but it could not speak back to them. It could not provide anything to them. You know, had no life in it. That's called a system. It was something, a container. A system was some things they dug in the ground and they put water in them so that they could have a source of water. You know, water symbolized power. You know, and spiritually what that means is we don't have no living water in these empty systems. They'll break. You know, sometimes water provides content and context so it don't break so easy. You know, you got to fill them up with something. And then use them for what they're intended to be. It contains a source of something that gives you life, water. You can't live without water. But if your system is empty or broken, it cannot hold water if it's broken, and if it's empty, it does nothing but make a lot of noise. And that's what a lot of the prophets were saying to the people. Yeah, you got a form, but you ain't got no power. There's nothing in you, you know? And so this is what we're learning about now. It's about the body, the soul, and the spirit, and how to maintain, how to develop, how to strengthen, how to grow, mature, and develop these parts of our life so that we can strike that balance. We can live a whole victorious life and not just be victorious in some things and then failing in other things. Any one of those parts of our the way God made us can drain the other part. Can drag the other part into a place, you know, of darkness. And this is why we learn, because that enters up the word of God. It gives light so we can see ourselves. We can see our body. I'm talking about more than when you look in the mirror, you see all these muscles, you see, you know, man, I look good, and all I got good skin. I'm talking about really the body as the temple of the Holy Ghost, you know, where we house the Spirit of God, where he'll be so pleased to come and dwell inside of us, live inside of us. Why? Because we present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, without spot or without wrinkle. We learn in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter of the King James Bible, I think verse 17 to 19, these bodies really don't belong to us. We are a spirit. The body houses the spirit. We live in the body. But we still got a soul. We still got these personalities and feelings and these emotions, who is just as important part of us as the rest of us. The only thing is, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The Spirit of God is greater than my body. He's greater than my feelings, my personality, my emotions. He is the most intelligent thing about us. He's the intellect of our soul, where all the ignorance is, the personality we choose and develop. You know, we got to have some intellect to teach us about God. And that's why he said he's the Spirit of truth. You know, he comes and lives inside of us, but he don't live inside of everybody. We got to repent, get some sins out of there, because he ain't dwelling in an unclean temple. I don't care how religious you sound. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care what you put on it. The Bible said that Lord looks beyond the cup, and he looks at the inside of the person, the heart of a person. That's what he deals with. What's in your heart, you know? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And if we haven't hidden the word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against God, we might sin against him. It's just that plain and that simple. Amen. So let's get in here this morning and pray and get to the word of God this morning. We're going to talk about the spirit this morning. We talked about the body. We talked about the soul. We're going to deal a little bit about the spirit this morning. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, awesome, incredible, amazing name, we come before your throne of grace and mercy this morning to acknowledge you, that you are God, and beside you there is no other God. We make or take no graven images. We bow down to no graven images, no man, no woman, nothing before you, God. We worship you, God. We honor you, God. We acknowledge you. We make known to you this morning our adoration and love this day. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love the Trinity this morning. We love calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, because that's the only name by which men can be saved. Thank you for saving us and we're saved. Thank you for healing us and we're healed. Thank you that we can say you are our praise, and we will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in our mouth. We will enter your gates with thanksgiving and come in your courts with praise. Our songs will be songs of praise unto you, God. Our lives, God, we pray, will be a testimony unto you, Lord. So we thank you this morning. Let the mind of Christ Jesus be also in us this morning. Thank you for saving us whole body, soul, and spirit this morning. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you that we have your word to enlighten us, to instruct us, God. We don't idolize your word, but we eat your word, because you said in Jeremiah, Lord God, the words were found and I did eat them, and they become a joy and a rejoicing to our hearts, Lord God. And we thank you, God, that we belong to you, God. And hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you this morning that you are our host this morning, Lord God. And we thank you this morning that we gather together, Lord God, this morning in your name this morning. And we welcome your presence this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading, guiding, directing, ordering our steps, our thoughts this morning. Let them come in agreement with your will this day. But thank you, for this is a day, Lord, that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We will shout with the voice of triumph, because you have already given us the victory this morning through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning that we come as overcomers this morning by the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, who was and is and who is to come again. We thank you this morning for your word that is the testimony of our mouths. And we thank you this morning that we're in this world, but we're not of this world, and we love not this life unto death. But we thank you for eternal life that awaits us if we endure to the end to be saved, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We praise you this morning, and we glorify and honor you this morning. We lift up your name this morning. Thank you for our families, God. Thank you for saving our unsaved family members. Thank you for the families of the world. We lift them up and pray, God. Bring healing, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bring restoration to those families, Lord God. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem this morning, God. We pray for the release of the hostages. We pray for an end to the starvation and the humanitarian crisis that's taking place in Gaza. And we thank you for the destruction of Hamas, God, that is causing so much death and destruction of innocent people, Lord God. Uncaring, stiff-necked, mean-spirited people, Lord God. I'd rather see people dead, Lord God, than to give them life, Lord God. And so, Father, we're just praying for your divine intervention in that situation, for you to avenge, oh Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, those innocent souls, Lord God. And we're praying this morning in the name of Jesus for those 66 lost souls, Lord God, in Russia, Lord God. We're praying, Lord God, for those who claim responsibility that there was ISIS. We don't know, Father, but we know you know, God. And we're praying for your divine intervention, Lord God. Hallelujah. Those are souls, God, whether they Russian, Ukrainian, their souls, God. And you said all souls are mine, God. And you said they who win souls, God, are wise. And we're praying that they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. God, there are many right now that are been devastated by these natural disasters and storms that are going through the middle, up and down the coastline, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. And we just pray, God, hallelujah, for these storms to be calm, Lord God. We know you have all power. These storms obey you, God. You can speak, peace be still, and they'll be still, God. We're praying that men and women will make wise decisions when they receive warnings or not, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Take unnecessary risks, oh Lord God. Let them do the right thing to protect themselves and preserve life, Lord God. And we just lift this all up to you, God. We lift our government up, our government officials, oh Lord God. We're praying in the name of Jesus, all that they govern in a quiet and peaceful and tranquil way, God, that the people will prosper, Lord God, and not be tormented, Lord God. We're praying against filthy lucre this morning, God. Those who do things for filthy lucre, harlots, oh God, who put money and wealth and fame and fortune before, God, the fear of God and the reverence of God. You say you are seeking for such that will worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. Can't serve two masters, God. Gonna hate one and love the other, man and mammon. So, God, we praying in the name of Jesus, as we move toward this Palm Sunday on tomorrow, the week before, to prepare for the coming of the death of Jesus, Lord God, that we pray and continue to build ourselves for what's coming, the resurrection celebration that's coming before us, God. And so, Father, we're just praying that we idolize no day, no celebration, but God, we take and learn the lessons, God, from what took place, God. Hallelujah. When Jesus came and gave his life, Lord God, it was so that we can have salvation. God, take away the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We have no argument, no case to make for our salvation. But we thank and praise you, Lord God. How that it be more than last seven words. That it be more than the Easter egg and Easter bunnies and all of the trimming and ceremonialism and ritualism that's taking place, Lord God. Form of God, but the nine the power thereof. So as we open up your word this morning, the bread of life this morning, we thank you this morning that your word is spirit and life. It gives us life this morning, revives us and renews and restores us. And we're praying that your message will go out across the world, Lord God, and people will hear the living word of God, and the Holy Spirit will convict those, God, who have made other gods before you, who worship people more than they worship God. And God, we just praise you. We love you this morning. So have your way this morning in the school of healing. God bless those on the line with us. Touch Pastor Eric, Phoebe, Mother Helen, Pastor Sharon, myself, Lord God, Mother Gustin, C.T. Davis, Harold, Lord God, Minister Biggers, Ivan, Lord God, Deaconess McNair, God, all those we've been praying for, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Be, Lord God, with hallelujah, Mr. Charlie Baldwin's family, Lord, they lay them to rest, Lord God, and others, oh God, who have went on to be with you and made the transition. We lift them up before you, God, and we give you praise, glory, and honor today in Jesus' name. As we pray, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is your kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you. Holy Ghost, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, then, again, welcome to the School of Healing. We want to, this morning, want to speak a little bit from the Word this morning, subject this morning again. Something that I wrote down yesterday as I heard Pastor Stevie was praying and teaching, and we know we're talking about building a better life for a better future, and a requirement, it requires a very serious approach, a very serious focus. Can't glance over this on our complete being. Got to focus on the spirit, the body, and the soul, so we can live a we can live victoriously in this body, soul, and spirit. Amen. So we can grow whole. I'm talking about whole or whole in God, and spiritually become spiritually mature, built up in the things of God for the work of ministry. In his wisdom and his knowledge and having understanding, so we know how to apply to these areas of our makeup, securing our future of knowing God intimately. That's a different level of knowing God. Obeying God, keeping his commandments until the end. We just can't keep them on Sunday. Got to keep them 365 days a year, 24/7, 7 days a week, okay, so that, you know, we can endure to the end. We have some means to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's how we're going to build that life today, so it'll be there tomorrow, on into eternity, to the end of the age, on into spending. And I hope this is everybody's destination to, or plan to spend eternity with God, our Heavenly Father. When and where we will wear our crown of salvation, because we would have earned it. As overcomers who have endured until the end to be saved. Man, what a premise, man. Amen. But we know Jesus is our spiritual food. He said, I'm the bread of life. We learned that in the book of John, the 6th chapter. He said, I am the bread of life. You know, food for building our life, our body, our soul, our spirit, securing our future. Jesus is our spiritual food. For life, because he's the living word of God. I hope you can get your mind wrapped around that. He's the living word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. We learned that in the first chapter of the book of John, the first verse. when he makes that statement, John says that about him. He is the light in the life of all people, all human beings, any life. He is the light in the life of it. And he came full of grace and truth and dwelt among his own people. And I don't know what they was eating spiritually, but they sure wouldn't eat him. He was the incarnated word of God made flesh, dwelling among them. Well, guess what? He's with us today. He's Emmanuel with us today. And we have to do everything we do in remembrance of him. We have to partake of his body, which was broken. We have to drink of that wine, symbolizing blood. Amen. We have to do that in remembrance of him. That's how we partake. That's how we, every day when we open up this word, we have to keep that in mind. This is what we're doing. This word is a living word. It is still the living body of Christ. So he said, I came in the volume of the book. So any part of the book that you eat, break off, eat the whole thing. Stay with it. Don't just pick it up on Sunday or on occasion or in a crisis. Spend some time every day. Become intimately acquainted. This is how we're going to live a victorious life in this world that we live in. Okay? We're not victims. We're victorious people. We're victors. We have the victory that's been given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, we say that, you know, the word was found and we did eat the word. We eat them, meaning words, or more than one. That means 66 books, all of it, the whole thing in the book of Jeremiah. He said, thy words were found, meaning more than one. And I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, Jeremiah didn't know that he was called in his mother's womb. He had to mature. He had to grow. He had to find that out. Look, y'all, we got detached from how God created us. And I could give you a dozen reasons how that happened. But nevertheless, we were trained up in the way we should go. I can speak for my family. You know what I'm saying? But when we got older, we departed from it. But we didn't stay departed very long because that word kept working. Something happened. Something in us. Something triggered something that made us realize this is not the path I'm supposed to be taking. Thank God that when that happened, it was our appointed time to get saved. And we did. And God saved us and we still saved. God is healing us and we still heal. He's still our praise. Thank God that that day came that we no longer could run. No longer could have no... We wasn't hiding anywhere. We wasn't running anywhere because God is always, wherever you at, God is there. And he's there to do one thing, to work out his plan of salvation in our life. But we're there to accept it or reject it. That's anybody, everybody. I don't care who you are. Don't have nothing to do with my money you got, cars you have, houses, how big they are. No, it comes down to all souls belong to God. All bodies belong to God. Every spirit belongs to God. Even Satan gonna have to worship him. Even the devil himself gonna have to worship him, you know? And we learn that in the scripture. But we have to find that word, amen, because the word provides faith in all of what we're saying. And without faith, we can't please God. One of the most healthiest Christians is one who lives by faith and not by sight. You know? Your body responds to it, your spirit responds to it, and your soul responds to it. Think about the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. All those great things that were done. Nothing was created without. You know, everything was done by faith. Everything they did was by faith. And they didn't have the promise. They didn't have the spirit to help them like we have. This is why it's so important today to understand the dispensation of time that we're living in. We're under grace now. Either fulfill the law, so we can't get hung up in that trying to do everything right. But we do everything by the Spirit, which is right. You know, we're led by the Spirit. That ain't just talk. We're led by the Spirit, or we're catering and led away from the spiritual leading us to the flesh. You know, lust of eye, pride of life, you know, lust of the flesh, lust of eye. People get caught up in that. They see things, oh, I got to have that. But do you need that? You know? There are things God want to add to it, but he's more concerned about giving us what we need, supplying all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Because we got to learn how to eat this spiritual food. This manna from heaven. You know, can't starve the spirit. You know, we got to feed him, got to nourish him. Yes, he likes the word, you know. And how else am I going to spiritually discern the word without him? Take him away. I ain't got nothing. I'm a system. I'm just a bunch of noise. Empty system, making a lot of noise, sounding breath about the tinkling symbol, talking loud, ain't saying nothing. And there's a lot of that going on, y'all. I don't care how they ramp it up, amp it up, make it sound good, get all the emotional stomping and kicking and running around, swinging jackets and knocking people down and slapping them on the head, putting gallon oil. All that, man, is show. It's entertainment. It's form. But when you're preaching and teaching sound doctrine, the Holy Ghost will show up and he'll do all that. He'll, as the scripture says, slain people in the spirit. You don't have to do all that. Yeah, you can put your hands on them and just a little bit of oil. Don't take a lot of them. And just anoint them for the service, anoint them for whatever, ordination, whatever, healing. But all this other shenanigans stuff going on, that ain't the power of God. It's emotion. And emotion is important, but it ain't the anointing. You know, ain't no yoke being destroyed with all that stuff. I don't care what they tell you, how deep they be. I don't care how many different color robes they put on, how long they are, how well they fit, how jewelry and all. None of that stuff impresses God. You know, God wants the spirit to show up. And David said in the book of Psalms, chapter 16, verse 11, in the presence of the Lord, there's the fullness of joy and pleasures at his right hand forevermore. You know, we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and come in his court with praise and create him a sanctuary where he comes in and dwells in the midst of his people. And when he comes in, he brings the anointing and he destroys the yoke. He sets the captive free. He opened the blind eyes. He feeds the people. And if the preacher is there, the preacher is to preach the word of God so that when the spirit of God shows up, he uses that word to free people. He don't use my words. He used what the spirit of God is saying through that yielded preacher, that yielded vessel, whose spirit filled. All these folks preaching and saying, Lord, Lord, don't know the Lord intimately. They got the gift of gab, they say. You know, they're great orators. They're philosophers. We're going to hear about that at 11 o'clock this morning, where Paul talks about how he, now at one point, that's how Paul was coming to them. But after his Damascus Road experience changed his life, he went back to the same people, a different man, with a different message, because it was no longer I said Paul, but it's the Christ in me now. They were still recognizing the same old Paul. They didn't know what was going on in Paul's heart and in his soul and in his spirit. God had touched his body, God had touched his soul, and God had touched his spirit, baptized him. Ananias put them hands on him, he regained his sight, gave him some food for his weak body. And the Holy Spirit led him back to those same people, a different man, a new creature, walking in newness of life with the word of life now. And he went back to right some of them wrong. But he told them, it's not I anymore, it's the Christ in me. You know, he was filled with the Spirit now. And so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hopefully you're hearing this morning. And I was, me and Pastor Sharon was talking yesterday. There is always a springing forth when you hear the word. There's something springing forth in some of you right now that wasn't there before. You heard what we just said. There's a springing forth taking place, because the more you give the word, the more springing forth comes. Why? Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. God takes us from one level of faith to another level of faith, from one level of strength to another level of strength, from one level of glory to another level of glory. And we can't reckon that the suffering we're going through at this present time, which are nothing but light affliction, can be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yes, we've been dealing with a cold. You know what I'm saying? After some of us are still dealing with, but we ain't shutting down what God is doing. Why? We're in the process of building a better life or a better future. And there will be trials. There will be tribulations. There will be moments of attacks on your body, your health. These things will come, but they'll go too. We just have to keep building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I felt when I was praying this morning, somebody was getting a whooping. I don't know whether it was a cough. I don't know whether it was a congestion. I don't know what it was. I don't know whether it was for somebody else out there that was listening. But I felt, man, emboldened inside. You know, I felt like there was something triggering. I told Pastor Sharon, we was talking about that word, man. I told her I felt like when I was laying in the bed and listening to the word, like explosions were going off in my spirit, blowing up some stuff that wasn't supposed to be there, you know? And my faith just seemed to got strong. Well, what happened was, if you read the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the king was of our identity with God. You know, remember, as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. Book of John chapter 1, verse 12, the King James Bible. So that's our identity now. Things have changed. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Now we have to learn, train how to walk in the newness of life. It's not automatic. It's not just the physical steps we make. We can say that because I don't walk to the club I used to walk to. I go to a different place now. I go to churches. To, you know, I go different places. I don't go where I used to go. Because why? I have a new identity now. You know, not that old me. Our spirit is the deepest part of who we are. Think about that in terms of the deepest parts. Sometimes we have to visit those parts. You know what I'm saying? We got to have a conversation with those parts. You got to get alone and shut it down and meditate. Think about who I am now, who he is in me now. Have some conversation with him. Have some communion with him. Have some fellowship with him. Get to know him. This is the intimacy that we need. And sometimes we become so busy with life that we miss those opportunities. We miss those moments. We're fortunate, Pastor Sharon, because we're retired. But hey, we weren't always retired. We fought with the schedule too. We fought with the time too to be intimate. But now we have that time, and it's like sometimes we seem like we're making up the time lost. No. God doesn't measure it that way. He's given us time now. He's going to carve out enough time for us to do everything we need to do. And when that time is finished, that's when God will have the final say. We don't say, he says. As long as we got breath in our body, we still got time. But how do we spend that time? Spend that time getting to know him and getting to know who you are. Our spirit is the deepest part. We got to go there. We got to visit there. Our spirit knows the perfect fellowship to have with God. It might be crying for some people. It might be brokenness for others. It might be, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you express your intimacy with God. I know how I express mine. And yours might be totally different than mine and mine yours. It doesn't matter. As long as you understand that's your intimacy with God. That's your time of fellowship with God. It's perfect fellowship. You're giving your whole self to God. That's what makes it perfect. You ain't holding back nothing. God knows everything, knows our thoughts afar, so you can have that conversation with him. I watch people sometimes when they say, I told God. Well, how about just having a fellowship and communion and conversation with him? We can't just get one dimensional and say, I'm always telling God, I'm always telling God, I'm always telling God. When do we listen to God? When do we get familiar with his voice? When do we sit still and just be quiet before God? Sometimes I sit over here, man, and just say with my head in my hands, and I'm just listening because I can hear the Spirit of God just as plain and just as clear. And then sometimes I put on a little bit of worship music and I hear him even clearer. I ain't saying nothing. I ain't even singing a song. I'm just listening. And sometimes I grab my paper over there, a napkin or whatever, because God will start speaking. And I try to write down what he said. Because I know that's food for my soul. That's me now. That might not be your way of being intimate with God, but you should have a perfect fellowship with God through the Spirit. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. We need to visit that place, some deeper things. Too many people are shallow thinkers because they don't have the Spirit of God. They can't go with where their head takes them. You know, the Bible says, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, we got the Spirit of God in us, too. Go a little deeper next time. Go beyond your thoughts. You know, y'all don't understand. To God, I'm not going to move until I hear from you, until you bless me. And, you know, it helps sometimes to read the Word and prep yourself. You know, it really, really helps, you know. That deep secrets, we want to know what those are. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. Well, guess what? Nobody can know the thoughts of God except we have his spirit. He helps us to think about what we're supposed to think about and not what we choose to think about. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit. If we're born again, now whether we know it or not, we turn in the world spirit, the old things, the old way of thinking, and we take on the new mind, the new way of thinking, God's spirit, new way of thinking, new way of speaking, new way of living, okay? So we're trading in when we receive God's spirit, the spirit of the world. So we can now know wonderful things about God that we didn't know before, okay? It was freely given to us. As you read in the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 10 through 12, what we're going to be visiting today at 11 o'clock, King James Bible, it says that. Demonstration of the spirit and power of God. After you're saved, expect demonstration of the spirit and power of God. No more philosophy, no more enticing, no more seducing, no more of all this tradition and all that. We're free from that. That's the spirit of the world. We've been broke free from that, okay? No one knows our thoughts like God's spirit, or like our spirit, okay? God does, but also our spirit. The same is true of God, okay? The Holy Spirit knows God's thoughts, you know? The Holy Spirit, who is God's spirit, searches our deep things, our infirmities, the parts of us we don't want to share with nobody. The deep things of God he searches too. The Holy Spirit knows God's secret, God's intention, God's desires. The Holy Spirit knows God's will. The Holy Spirit perfectly and completely understands God's nature and power. Everything there is to know about our infinity, meaning the intricate part of us that wants to communicate with God, but because we get in the way sometimes, it gets blocked, you know what I'm saying? It hinders us from communicating with God, the part of us that want to communicate with God. The Holy Spirit knows this. This is why he searches our infirmities. This is why we don't know how to pray as we should. The Holy Spirit is not learning about God. He knows about God. He came from God. The Holy Spirit knows God intimately, and he wants us to know God intimately, and that's why God gave him to us, to help us. He knows himself fully. We don't have to tell the Holy Spirit nothing about himself. He knows himself fully. He knows us fully. We know us fully. You know what I'm saying? But we still need help to know God fully. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit communicates what he knows of God with our spirit. God's spirit shares revelations with our spirit. God's innermost being shares the mysteries, the unveilings, the revelations with our innermost being where we need it the most. That's where everything, the secrets are. That's why he said, hide the word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against them. David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. In that place of intimate, God wants an intimate oneness where we and him have become one, where we meet right there, where the divine secrets about who we are being imparted by God. Because he knows, he reminds us, hey, I know your thoughts, but I want you to know my thoughts there. By the Holy Spirit, this can be possible. Every believer, again, every born-again believer, have this privilege, okay, of this eternal intimacy and knowledge and knowing of God, that connection from deep within with God himself, that craving inside that cannot be satisfied until we have an intimate relationship with God. We'll try to put something there to satisfy, no matter how we feel in our body or our soul. Our connection in the spirit remains, okay? We might smother it over with other stuff, but we live not to connect with God, but from a connection with God. I hope y'all hear that. Not to connect with God, but from a connection, from a relationship with God. We were created by God. We have to receive power to become the children of God that we can live victoriously, okay? So many people trying to connect with God instead of understanding we are connected with God. We're created by God. Now we have to learn how to live that relationship. Okay? Our body belongs to God. When I had it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, King James Bible, our spirit is one with God. We learned that in verse 17 of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, King James Bible. And yes, even our very soul is filled and owned by God. We read that before in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 14, the King James Bible. We are a spirit who have a soul, and we exist in this body. So we're going to end right there. Hopefully you understand now that the Spirit connects us with God, okay? Not now, but when we were created. And in order to continue to, you know, live out of that connection victoriously, we got to feed our souls, we got to feed our bodies, we got to feed our spirit, the Word of God. Instructed how to do that. Amen. Father, we thank you. We praise you this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for what we heard this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for what we're feeling right now. We're feeling enlivened and bold and enlightened this morning by your word. Because, Lord God, you want us to build a better life right now. You want us to know you holy, God. You want us to be whole when we come before you, God, body, soul, and spirit. Because all of this came from you. You gave this to us, our body, our soul, and our spirit. And God, we want to live out a connection with you, not trying to connect to you, but we're already created by you, body, soul, and spirit. So instruct us, Holy Spirit. Lead, guide, and direct us. Let us have this word in our hearts that we'll know who we are, and we'll be able to be secure in our identity once we know who we are, whose we are, and who you are, God. So we give you praise going on this morning. We thank you for the word this morning that's like medicine right now to our flesh and marrow to our bones. We thank you this morning. We've been made alive this morning, Lord. So help us now as we go out to walk, God, in the counsel of your word this morning, revived and restored in Jesus' name, victoriously mature, God, knowing you, God, knowing, God, your word is the key, God. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus, one of the name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, then, well, we're going to end right there. That concludes the teaching this morning.